T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, Monday, and here we are with another week and another week of excitement, the usual political nonsense going on in Washington, which we want to talk about, the usual political nonsense going on in the state. Politicians playing games, posing, lying, deceiving, distorting. That is, I was trying to think of a new expression today for the mother's milk. You know, the mother's milk of politics is lying, I say sometimes. Today I thought of lying is the 2x4 of American politics. Doesn't have a great ring to it, does it?
No.
It's Mikey Monday. Hey, Mike.
Oh, hey, Todd.
I don't know why it doesn't resonate better, but I feel like it should. It's the 2x4. You know, everything you want to build in politics is based on a lie. Every argument they make is a fantasy.
Well, you can build stuff without a 2x4, though. So it's not.
You can. But then you would say it's the foundation, and that doesn't carry a lot of meaning to it because it's used so often, I fear.
I see. Well, you know, keep working on it.
All right, here's some distortion. Kamala Harris testifying. Senate Judiciary Committee today to decide whether they've already given up.
Wait, they're working
because they
today?
Have more power than Democrats. Well, I wouldn't call it working. They're sitting around talking. Yeah,
I thought they'd take today
Not exactly.
off.
No, I don't know why they don't celebrate Indigenous people in Washington. I guess they're just haters.
It's obvious.
It's the only thing I can figure.
Trump's nominee through the Senate, while people are actually voting, just 22 days before the end of the election.
This is the campster telling the standard lies that the left is using for this process, arguing that this Barrett lady shouldn't be put into the court because of the timing of this nomination, because the president is only got so many days left before the election. But there's nothing constitutional about this. It's strictly a procedural argument. They're trying to make it seem like it's some huge transgression. But it's just business as usual. That is, they're all liars and cheaters and trying to get more power for their side. And the Democrats and the Republicans both have been on both sides of this issue of what you should do in the last year. And the Republicans seized the opportunity 4 years ago, and they're seizing it again now.
So
and all this glorification of the argument is just nonsense.
So what's so this is just politics, right? There's no right way to go about this in the future. Were the Republicans right this time, or were they right in 2016?
Well, it depends on what you mean by right. It's politics. They saw a huge benefit by being able to successfully achieve what they've been trying to achieve for decades, and that is to take control of the court.
Yeah, but like, so they're in a stronger position this time around. I think, at least, I don't want to say morally, not morally, but
logically,
they're in a better position this time around. The last time, the only reason they won last time was because they had the control of the Senate, correct? They were able to wield that.
Yes.
To stop.
Just like right now. They're doing this because they have control and they can. But yes, last time made no sense. There's no reason. why the president of the United States shouldn't nominate a judge when there's an opening. They all do it. Even if there's 20 minutes left in the term, they nominate somebody.
Yeah.
And it's up to the Senate to advise and consent. So if they can do their advising and consenting before the election, then they do. Let's listen to a little Cam Harris.
More than 9 million Americans have already voted, and millions more will vote while this illegitimate committee process is underway.
Nothing illegitimate about it. And there's nothing that matters about whether people are voting or not, except that there shouldn't be early voting. So essentially, Kamala Harris seems to be making an argument against early voting. And if that's the case,
you're all for that.
Oh, I'm all for that.
Oh, yeah.
A clear majority of Americans want whomever wins this election to fill this seat. And my Republican colleagues know that.
Well, it doesn't. People. If the media is partners with one political party, as it is, and just puts out the message of the Democrats, and nobody's ever heard the arguments of the Republicans, even if they've made them, I don't know if they've made them. If one side is always getting its story into the newspaper, and then you ask people in a poll which answer they favor, they're going to favor the one they've heard about a subject they know nothing about. Like, how would the average American have an opinion on who should, whether the present president or the next president should decide? They strictly have an answer because they've heard the political arguments from the parties,
yeah,
or from the party.
The only difference I would say is, like, the last time around, it was like Obama was a lame duck president. So it's like he wouldn't have been doing the nominating had the Democrat won that election. Whereas this case, the incumbent is Trump. Are you following me? Like, it's slightly different in that way.
He had 9 months left in before the election.
Yeah, but Trump, you're saying?
No, four years ago when Obama was president.
Okay, yeah, but he wasn't running. That was his last term. So all I'm saying is maybe it's like makes some sort of difference logically. Where, like, oh, well, we want the next president to make the choice.
Well, the Republicans are making the argument that because they hold the Senate and they've got the White House, there's no question. Isn't that what they're saying? But and last time there was a different president from the Senate. And I don't know why that matters. I mean, the president nominates.
And I guess I'm just saying,
decides.
Like, the last time around, I bet you we could find sound of some Republican saying the exact thing that Cam Harris said.
Oh, you know, there's total sound of both of them, both parties on the opposite side of the issue through the years. That's why I say hypocrisy is the 2x4 of politics. That's just what they do.
Yet they are deliberately defying the will of the people in their attempt to roll back the rights and protections provided under the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah.
She's making an Affordable Care Act, another totally bogus one. There are no rights under the Affordable Care Act. It's just a social program, a giveaway of free things that we don't have money to buy and that makes the healthcare more expensive. Hate all these arguments. They're so bogus. Do you have any feelings about that as a young man? Do you feel like the government should give you free stuff?
I mean, it definitely sounds good. It's one of those. That's how they get you. But, I mean, look, yeah. I do feel like there should be some level of care if you're an American citizen. But, like, I mean, I don't know who pays for it. Like, if you can figure out a way to fund it in a fair way and...
There's no fair way.
Yeah, I know there isn't. I don't know.
Because these weasels take whatever little inch you give them and make it into millions of miles.
And let's remember, in 2017, President Trump and congressional Republicans repeatedly tried to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. But remember, people from all walks of life spoke out and demanded Republicans stop trying to take away the American people's health care. Republicans finally realized that the Affordable Care Act is too popular to repeal in Congress. So now they are trying to bypass the will of the voters and have the Supreme Court do their dirty work. That's why President Trump promised to only nominate judges who will get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
So, in a way, she's right to blame Republicans, because Republicans want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. They should stand up and say so and explain why. I think our problem in politics is that they don't stand up and say what they're up to and why they're doing it, because they're afraid of the political damage, because they haven't successfully indoctrinated people into pro-American thinking as effectively as the Democrats indoctrinate people into anti-American thinking. The people they're tricking don't even know they're being taught to think that anti-Americanism is the American way.
So why have they messed up so terribly?
I think the Republicans have just been in the habit of figuring out how to wield power, how to manipulate behind the scenes to get their way. Mitch McConnell, I've watched him through the years watching trends and just waiting for the trend to come his way and then lining up like a surfer waits for the right wave. He's just there waiting in the water, waiting for the right one to come along. And when he sees it, he pushes his board into it and jumps up and takes the ride. And that's how McConnell does politics. And I think a lot of the Republicans do that. They don't worry about what the American people believe. They do what they can get away with.
I mean, I mean, it just seems effective, but also a little rigid as far as, like, I mean, I don't know. It's like the incremental approach, I guess.
Well, the trouble is the people get left behind. So, yeah, Republicans have good influence over policy in our country. And a lot of people don't understand why their positions are valid ones. And that's a real tragedy for the long-term ability to keep the American system of government in place, which we largely already have lost, because we've got a huge federal government that spends trillions of dollars that we don't have and just creates debt in order to pay people with all the free stuff that people expect. So there's, what is it now, $30 trillion in debt? And that $30 trillion in debt is about being able to do these promises. There's no money to pay for these promises, so we have debt instead. These so-called rights, according to Kamala.
This administration, with the support of Senate Republicans, will be in front of the Supreme Court on November 10th to argue that the entire Affordable Care Act should be struck down. That's in 29 days, but that'll happen.
I love that. Anybody think that's a bad idea? 860-522-9842. Will you celebrate or be depressed if the Affordable Care Act is ruled illegal? I'm a little scared for Republicans if that happens. Wow. What do you think, Mike? You wishing, which way would you wish that?
I mean, I guess I'll be cheering its demise, but honestly, I don't really care either way. It hasn't really affected my life that much.
Well, it does in terms of this long-term march to. So the Affordable Care Act, in my opinion, is a piece of the puzzle into the universal health care that Democrats so desperately seek, because all they want to do is create bigger government all the time.
They're looking for
ways for them to control more resources every inch of the way.
What's the plan after that's the Affordable Care Act is no more? What's the Republican plan that Democrats say there is no, so.
Well, Republicans know what they want to do. They don't want to speak it. They want us to have a constitutional form of government. They want us to not have the federal government giving away free stuff.
It seems like you should be speaking that like all the time if you're a Republican and want your ideas to latch on.
Yes.
So I don't.
They should.
I don't know what they're doing.
They should be talking about the crushing debt that the country has, because you're dealing with an abstract against something real. You know, if someone's offering you, Mike, producer Mike, free stuff.
Yeah, give it to me.
You know, and you're in your 20s and you've got a government saying, one side of the government saying, we'll give you free stuff. You shouldn't have to pay for your college. You shouldn't have to pay for your college debt. You should get free community college.
Okay.
You should get free health care versus one that says, oh, guess what? If only the government stopped doing all this, there'd be so much money flowing through your pocket. We'd have such a vibrant and generous economy that you'd be able to make fortunes, and you could decide yourself how to spend that money.
I don't know. It sounds like a scam.
Yeah, one's an abstract, one's very concrete.
All you're saying is I'm not getting all this free stuff, so I don't like that.
Right. That's the message. And that's the problem. That's why when de Tocqueville came here back in the, whenever it was, late 1700s from France, and he wrote a book or books about his travels in looking at this new system of government that the Americans had invented. And he laughed and said, this thing's a joke. As soon as the people realize that they can elect the people who give them free stuff, the whole system's over. And he was right. It's amazing that it took so long for the Democrats to pull it off. That's how I look at it.
Wow. Somber.
It is, I think, somber. But that's what makes me believe in question electoral politics. Like, how do you have an electoral system?
We need more parties.
That doesn't end up that way. I don't know if more parties would solve it or not.
It couldn't be worse. Well, it would just be more options. I don't think there's anything. That's the best idea as far as I'm concerned. It's just more options, the better. And then, you know, you can clearly it's not working with this establishment politics we have going on between the left and the right. And there's plenty of people that are in between and of different persuasions on each side that I'm sure you could bubble up two or four other parties that reflect a large swath of people. It's just there. How do you gain power as a third or an extra party in something that's in a government that's been so established the way this one has?
Yeah,
been.
Good question.
I don't know.
Did we take our break, Mike?
No, we did not.
Oh, let's take a quick break and then continue. It's Mikey Monday on WTIC. WTIC, good afternoon. Mikey Monday, producer Mike with me, chatting about the hearings going on today. Mikey in East Hartford, hello there.
Scott, so with respect to Alexis de Tocqueville, just a quick note, it wasn't the 1700s, it was the 1800s when he came to the United States. And
okay.
One important point that he has made was that democracy is, in fact, the best form of government, only if it's got a moral component to it. When the morality is taken out of democracy, he then said it becomes the worst form of government, and you're seeing it now. Not simply because of the lack of morality, but because we've now entered a phase, and if people don't realize it, I'm scratching my head. We've entered a phase of soft despotism, where people have pretty much viewed government as an abstract thing that will pretty much resolve their issues, and we've given up a lot of our individualism and independence and our rights to a government who takes care of most of the things for us. And
yeah, but so this is what I don't understand is how could you ever think that it would last, that you would have the consistent moral framework in the country to protect against the kind of looting that goes on today?
Well, I think it's been by design. I think it's engineered morality.
Well, I know, but how is that not totally predictable whenever you have an election-based democratic system?
He did warn about that. You're right. De Tocqueville did warn about that, but it's been buttressed by a group that has told us that morality is not universal. In fact, it could be anything.
Yes, but I'm just saying, I don't know how that's avoidable. I don't. If you were sitting brainstorming this is my point, Mike. If you, me, and Mike, and a couple other listeners, maybe were sitting around having coffee at Starbucks, and we were having a debate about how to design the perfect form of government, because that's where America was in the early years. You had all these fine minds like you sitting there considering and looking at the pitfalls and figuring out how to design it in such a way that it would resist the pitfalls. And they thought of everything you could imagine thinking of, and it's not enough. What we know now is it wasn't enough, all of their balance between the different parts of government and such.
Yeah, I disagree. I think when individuals, as Tocqueville said, strive to get the things that we want individually, that balances things off, and you can preserve democracy. He's a good read, definitely worth reading.
Thank you for that, Mike. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. But the trouble is, you can't expect that the guards will never be bribable, will never walk away from their post. You got what I'm saying, Mikey?
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe back then the view of the population in general was one of with more hope and encouraged, you know, like people would be smart enough, or there was a culture of people valuing independence, valuing liberty, valuing what we actually had here. It seems like it's different now. People.
Do we have to go to news?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. We'll take a news break. We'll talk more coming up. Also, we've got to talk about today's holiday and whether we should be honoring who we're honoring. Coming up after news on WTIC. WTIC. So we're talking about America, the Democrats campaigning for, they're in a permanent campaign to end America as it was intended to be, which we've moved a million miles away from. But they're still fighting for more, more, more all the time. And de Tocqueville, we'll take some phone calls, 860-522-9842. But de Tocqueville, Mike, thank you for your call. And by the way, it is Mikey Monday, and producer Mike is on the air with me.
Yes.
I was way off. He didn't come to the U.S. until the 1830s. He spent 9 months. I was thinking about the difference in travel back then for now. Like, you had to be so determined. We won't take a flight because it might have an hour and a half layover somewhere for us to go halfway around the world. You know, we get, oh, no, I'm not getting on that plane. He came here and spent 9 months touring the country so he could see how our system of government was working. And while he and his friend were traveling, they decided, oh, let's go up to Montreal and see what's going on up there.
Yeah.
And when you think about what it took, how did you get to Montreal back then? You had to, I guess, be on a horse or in a stage, sitting on a plank of wood, bouncing around on non-road roads. It must have been horrible. And then sitting there for 2 days or 3 days when something would break on the coach, which had to be inevitable. And these guys were that determined to find out what America was doing. But he had a couple good lines, you know, a couple of famous quotes about his travels that people have heard, but I want to remind them of when we have a second. But let's go to the phone. CJ, hello, you're on WTIC.
Hey there, Todd. I wanted to give you some guidance on your original search regarding a foundational term for the lying of politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to offer origin story, because every comic book character has an origin story, and the more it's repeated, the greater it becomes. So I believe that is their origin story.
All right, so tie that into our conversation. What were we saying that alerted you to the idea of an origin story?
You wanted to come up with a phrase, and you had offered 2x4 as
yep.
their foundation.
That the 2x4
the lying.
Yes, and you're saying that lying is the origin story of politics. Is that how you're applying it?
That's how I'm applying it. So if we look at politicians as the comic book characters that they actually are, then origin story fits perfectly. And then
I like that.
To carry on with the conversation that you had evolved into relative to the founders, and what they constructed relative to the government and the practices of the foundation of the United States, what they sought to do as enlightened men was to come up with a series of practices and procedures designed to thwart human nature, because human nature is a constant, and human nature would always seek to undermine the genius of what it was that they were trying to establish in their elegant efficiency that they set up for us. And we have watched as it's been diminished annually.
Yes, but what's your response to my argument that there's something inherently naive about thinking humans can build anything that nature won't eventually wear down? You can put up the greatest building, but eventually the elements and the earthquakes and whatever nature has to throw at it will wear it down. It might take a million years, but it's not going to last forever.
But there's also something inherently naive in not presupposing that humans are part of nature, and as such, anything that we do is the same as nature. Nature, things come and go in nature, too, as evidenced by the fires that are going on in California. I heard this morning that the environmentalists are running advertisements on your station talking about one thing, and one thing being that you shouldn't be raking up the leaves and the debris in your yard, because that sets up an eco-structure for different bacteria and bugs and things to live off of. But by the same token, isn't that what they tell us every fire season? Get everything away from your house, because if you've got dry stuff on the ground, your house is going to catch on fire if there's a fire.
That's the ecosystem of fire. And they've been denying this accusation from Trump that they're doing just that out there.
Well, and yet the forest managers have been saying this from the very beginning with the guys that were sent out under Roosevelt. They've been talking about this, and it's been a science and it's been a practice since the giant fires that they had back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. This is ongoing. It's not unusual. It happens, and it's a cycle, and the more we feed into it. And California has built their own drought by redirecting water and trying to preserve lizards and things instead of letting it go to the farmland where it's always been. So there are places in California that are drier than they've ever been. And when you add to that Santa Ana winds and all that other good stuff that they have out there, of course it's going to catch on fire. And they have their own special set of seasons. Was it fire, mud? What are the other two? Flood and one other. Bugs, probably.
CJ, you're awesome. You have to call more often, okay?
Will do.
All right, thanks for the call. 860-522-9842. Nevertheless, I am left with this feeling that the founders thought they were designing a system that could last. And maybe they thought if they could get a couple hundred years out of it, that'd be good enough to justify it. But I would like to solve this problem of how do you devise a system where the plunderers, the Ned Lamonts and the Nancy Pelosi's and all of the big government crowd don't eventually find a way to build an argument and a base of support for that argument that becomes the majority. I don't know how that's avoided in our system. So I want a system with weaker government. I have a feeling they were better off with the original government they started, that they panicked over because it didn't have a strong enough federal government. And they, you know, and Alexander Hamilton was a big part of this, and he was a big government guy, and I feel like he has a lot of responsibility for our current malaise.
Hamilton.
Thoughts, please. Yes. 860-522-9842. Do you know any of the songs? Can you perform any of the show tunes for us from Hamilton?
No, sorry. Never seen it.
Well, I haven't seen it either, but I have heard the music once or twice.
I have too. I just not enough to know any of the words.
Yeah. No, I've effectively only heard it once. All right, we are taking phone calls. People are dropping off because we just put you on hold, but Mike's on the air who usually...
I mean, if they hang up,
they're
usually not worth it, so I wouldn't mind.
Really? Yeah. Is that your rule of thumb?
Yeah.
They don't have enough perseverance, fortitude,
exactly.
Determination?
Exactly.
That's our screening process, a different kind of screening.
Or they're just slow.
Are they worthy? Well, they might feel that something weird is going on, like the technology's messed up, because they're used to hearing your dulcet tones when they connect.
No, half the time, anyway, people think they're talking to you when they call in, so I don't know about that.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's strange.
They say, hey, is this Todd?
Yeah, or they just launch right into it. Hey, Todd, how you doing? I say, don't say that to me.
Well, sometimes... Oh, you're the one who says you don't like being asked how you're doing. That's where that comes from.
No, I just prepare them for when they go on the air with you, and it still doesn't work.
Oh, I see. You tell them not to. Well, you know, they're not actually doing it because they want to do it. It just comes out of them.
Yeah, it's like a tick.
It's a tick. Yeah, it's
I understand. I don't grieve people.
So Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are campaigning permanently, constantly, continuously for the end of the American system of government. And everything they say, I want to educate everybody in the world that everything they say is anti-constitutional. It's against the American system.
And that's a big reason why Senate Republicans are rushing this process. They are trying to get a justice onto the court in time to ensure they can strip away the protections of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, yes, the Affordable Care Act, Kamala Harris, is another giveaway that we can't afford. We're $30 trillion in debt as a nation. What exactly do you think is going to happen that's so wonderful if we get to keep that giveaway so that you can expand it into another one? Well, I think the only thing Democrats are excited about is they control more resources. The economy gets shrunk further. Everybody gets starved. Big government takes money from the middle class because that's where all the money lives. And life gets harder. Therefore, they argue for new programs to make your life easier. Hi, who's this? You're on WTIC.
Hey, John from Manchester. I left you a message about Kamala Harris knowing the question, the segue. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Tell us, you're on the air live now. We haven't done the rant line yet. So if you left a rant line message.
I left a message on the rant line like a few days ago. But about.
Oh, I don't remember. Tell us what it was.
Okay. So the moderator asked Pence, and Pence answers the question. Whenever the question was, the moderator said, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a great segue to my next question. And Kamala got all excited and leaned forward and briefly, quickly said, yeah. Good segue. So it's like, and no one's talking about how would she know it was a good segue to the next question if she didn't know the next question?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually in our rant line calls for today. So the thing I thought of, which I haven't had a chance to check yet, is did she know what the subjects were without regard to the specific questions, and therefore she knew where the segue was headed because she knew what subjects they were covering.
Subject. But a different question.
Yeah. All right. Then I don't know. Interesting point, though. I don't have an answer for you yet, but I'm going to investigate
it. You're great, though. You should.
Have you come up with anything else?
No. No. You should be governor, though. That's you should or lieutenant governor. Let you know.
Let who? Who am I going to be the assistant? The worthless assistant with no tasks.
The one who just lost. What was his name?
Oh, Bob Stefanowski.
Yes. As governor, you could be lieutenant governor. We'll have a great.
Well, that wouldn't be bad. Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? And then, Mike, what job do you want, attorney general?
I'll take Max's gig.
You want to say WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Then talk and share our views. We don't need a corona case of, because I, you know, but if you like the lime, I can get some lime-flavored rolling papers, man, you know?
What?
Thank you, John. I've you really got Mike's interest with that one, John.
That was
Thank
just random. What is he talking about?
Yeah, he's. I don't know. I don't know what triggered that. Anyway, that would be fun. I would. Stefanowski's on at 5:40 today. By the way, but he hasn't been doing his regular slot the last couple of weeks. But he's back today. So I wouldn't mind being lieutenant governor with Bob, because then he's a workhorse. I could just pile all the work on his shoulders. And
what about that other thing he was saying, though? Like, what? How much difference does it actually make if Kamala knew what the next question was, or she knew what the next topic was going to be? Like,
well, because
does that matter?
There was a firm commitment made that nobody could know what the questions were because they were kept inside the head of the moderator.
Okay.
And Chris Wallace said this too. He said nobody knows these questions because I wrote the questions and I haven't shared them with anybody. So he's essentially guaranteeing that there was nobody who was tipped off.
I don't know. It just seems like there's so much paranoia with some of these debates, and like I don't know how much any of them really matter. I'm not saying they're not worthwhile to have debates, but especially like I don't know. This year in the last election, it seems like they're not really swaying anybody. So what difference does it really make?
Well, because you need to know who the people are. whether
but we
whether
don't.
They can measure.
we don't learn anything from the debates.
Well, we learned something. I mean, if you never saw them and never heard their voices and didn't know what they looked like, that would be different. And each step along the way gives us a little something. It might be their chance to deceive us more. That's for us to figure out. Anyway, I don't know. I like the debates. Hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Steve from Springfield. The reason I called...
Steve, thanks for calling.
You're an extremely thoughtful guy. Have you ever read that book called Liberal Fascism by Jonah Goldberg, a contributing editor for National Review?
No, I like Jonah, though.
It's a fascinating book. If you want a rapidly moving history of the last 100 years of liberal progressive thought, it is a fascinating, fascinating read.
Really?
You know, it goes through all the stuff about how a lot of Nazi eugenics was actually based on Western, you know, writers. I mean, it's really a phenomenal read. It's a rapidly moving book, and he documents everything. Every single thing. I mean, he goes through the whole thing with Margaret Sanger, how the left has been like over the years weaponizing everything from influenza to World War I to the Depression to World War II. I mean, it's a really deep kind of like a chilling read. Because it explains like a lot of their thought processes. You know, it goes into Roosevelt trying to pack the court. And you know, the thing was, when Nazi Germany and Mussolini and Stalin first came in, I mean, the liberals were salivating over the whole thing. It's like the great new progressive and collective experiment. Of course, they had to change all their minds on all of this later because of the disasters that followed. But it's a fascinating read. It's called Liberal Fascism, which is in itself is a good title. Because the liberals don't believe that they can be fascists.
Well, of course not. Just as average folk can't be racist, you've got to be part of the ruling elites or white to be racist. All right, that's good. Thank you for that, Steve.
All right, thank you.
Nice to hear from you. Steve calling from Springfield. He's recommending Jonah Goldberg, Liberal Fascism, as a read. And it sounds good for me because I'm not much past Dick and Jane. If you remember those books, we're going to take a quick break and continue the conversation on Mikey Monday. Producer Mike joining me on WTIC. Yeah. Oh, there's just something so glorious about that bluesy sound. Matches up with the crazy times we live in, too. 860-522-9842. Aaron Goshen. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, Todd. So I would like to challenge any Biden supporter out there to debate any Trump supporter, but they can't use one word to describe the reason why they're voting for Biden Harris Dixon. And that one word is Trump. I guarantee you they can't give a reason why they think Biden and Harris is a better candidate without using the word Trump to platform their argument. That's just period. The other thing is, I look at the state of Connecticut and I look at the state of Massachusetts. Massachusetts just decriminalized and legalized recreational marijuana, and they're making a boatload off of the tax revenue that's coming in. Why does the state of Connecticut not legalize marijuana, allow people to buy it illegally, and use the tax revenue to pay off the unfunded pension liability of all our union state workers? So we can maybe get this state on the right path. Secondly, we need to sunset these pension plans. So as of October 31st, 2020, if you're hired by the state of Connecticut, you've got a 401k like everybody else in this world.
Well, they're not going to do the second because that's a vote loser as opposed to a vote getter. And they won't pay off the debt on the first one. I don't even think marijuana is enough money to do it. That's how bad things are. Aaron, thank you for that thought. I've got to hold you right there, though.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.